Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
Hey, Michelle, how many times have you heard payback's a bitch?
Huh? Oh, well, not only have I heard it, I think I've actually participated in it a time or two. How about you?
You have not.
Well, I did.
Daily?
I try not to anymore. I did.
Oh, my God. It's a weird feeling. It's like, why do you retaliate? That's a big question, you know, when you talk about payback's a bitch. And we have with us a fabulous expert to help us understand this. Dr. Judith Eve Lipton is a retired psychiatrist and a distinguished fellow of the American Psychiatric Association, and she's the author of 8 books with her husband, Professor David Barish, and 2 more in press. And this book we're going to talk about is Payback: Why We Retaliate, Redirect Aggression, and Take Revenge. Dr. Lipton, welcome to Her Radio. All right, why do we retaliate?
Hi. Well, the reason we retaliate, let me back up for a minute. We retaliate because essentially retaliation balances our hormones in our brain. We retaliate because losing a competition, whether it's losing a chess match or even watching your favorite sports team lose a game, causes changes, biochemical changes in the brain that make us suffer. And for example, for men, looking at losing sports team makes their testosterone levels and serotonin levels go down. You can pump your own, the mechanism for that, I should say, is called subordination stress. When you think somebody's gotten the better of you and you get mad, your stress hormones go up. You feel discombobulated. You're uncomfortable. And you're uncomfortable in your brain. Your brain chemistry is uncomfortable. You're stressed. You can relieve that stress by taking it out on somebody, even if that somebody is not directly related to the person who hurt you. For example, if you had a bad day at work and you're miserable and your stress hormones go up and you come home and you yell at your dog, by making your dog cringe, you bring your own subordination stress, you alleviate that, you take away the subordination stress, you treat your own mental hormones, you feel, well, I'm good again, I'm strong, I'm on top. And that balances you out. You go on feeling like a winner, not a loser. Essentially, the long story is, it hurts physically, mentally, and in your endocrine system and in your brain to be a loser. So payback is a way to balance out those chemicals and those hormones to make your body feel like a winner instead of a loser.
So let's talk about that for a second, because that's very interesting, because I deal a lot in the hormone space, and I never really thought about it affecting the brain. But so you're saying aggression and redirected aggression and payback, retribution, are actually natural,
yes.
But they're not good. So they contribute to suffering and possibly to inhibit behavior that is natural, like rage, like the urge to cheat with effort, right?
Yes, I'm saying my whole thesis, probably the underlying thesis of many of my husband and I's books, he's written 37, I've co-authored 8.
Wow, unbelievable.
An underlying thesis is that lots of things are natural, like earthquakes, or like wanting sugar, or enjoying potato chips, or French fries. But just because they're natural doesn't mean they're good. Natural childbirth might be good or not good, depending on the circumstances. But lots of things that are natural are really bad and dangerous. They cause social trouble. And so what we're trying to do, both in the mythonogamy and in payback, is to define natural processes, like the wish to get even, identify it, show the biochemical hormonal underpinnings, and then show ways to do the good thing rather than the natural thing.
Well, you brought up something, Dr. Lipton, about marital you know, the whole issue of marital cheating, the monogamy issue, and this is one of the most frequent causes of aggression, violence, and murder. So can you give us ways to cope? Give us ways to cope. All right. You've wrote a book about it, The Myth of Monogamy. You talked about the fact, once again, just because it's natural doesn't mean it's good. And so help her listeners to understand what are the ways to cope with this marital cheating, for instance.
Number one, don't commit to monogamy unless you've really thought it through, like a real estate contract or a mortgage, read all the fine print, and thought it through deeply. Because it's really difficult. It's like playing the violin well or upper level dressage. It's really hard, and it's gonna only get harder. So that's point number. Prepare. Don't think that monogamy is gonna just happen. Number two, when it cheats, don't feel like you're a failure, because you're probably not. Because monogamy is natural, it's probably that your partner had a lapse. And it's not that you're horrible or you're overweight or you did something wrong. The biggest excuse in the book is you drove me to it, which is bullshit. Most of the time people cheat because they feel like
it. Love it.
And it's, you know, you have to recognize that it's probably not your fault. And then decide, are you going to pay back? Are you going to get a divorce or get a gun or, you know, kill somebody? Or can you take the higher moral ground and try to inhibit all of the stress that comes from the real injury in infidelity is being cheated on, being made a fool of. It's like being a big-time loser. And to overcome being a big-time loser, whether it's at business or in marriage, you have to step back. And I think mindfulness meditation, possibly antidepressants, possibly taking a time out, going away from the situation a bit, to get the frontal part of your lobe, which includes your inhibitions, back in gear, so that you can say no to what feels natural and begin thinking, what's rational under this situation? For instance, when people have, you know, what Erica Jong famously called zipless fucks when they're on business trips, the sort of you know, really quick overnight things that happen almost to almost everybody. Those aren't necessarily marriage breakers unless you decide they're marriage breakers. You have to decide what's more important. Can you take a higher moral ground? Can you renegotiate your contract? Or is monogamy realistic? Maybe you want to make a contract that includes occasional recreational departures. People do that. More and more people have exclusion contracts in their marriage arrangements that include recreational sex. Well, in my opinion, as long as you've got good contraception going, that's an option if you want it. It's not an option.
Well, when you're talking about, you know, we just sort of circling back to the payback's a bitch. Right. A lot of this can be literally eliminated and controlled much better if you just have honest communication right up
front,
especially when it comes to something like, about you know, monogamy and how you want to deal with your relationship. And then, you know, as you've noted already, it's very important to take a moment and to think about taking the higher ground when you have been wronged, when you have no control over the situation, something just happened. And just because, you know, we have re-regulating these hormones is exceptionally important. So I think in total, you've done a great job of helping us understand this whole issue of why we retaliate and why payback's a bitch. And the book is Payback, Why We Retaliate, Redirect Aggression, and Take Revenge. Our wonderful guest is Dr. Judith Eve Lipton, and I am Dr. Pam Peake, along with Michelle King-Robeson.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lipton. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Stay well.